The juice is loose. All right. Yes, indeed. The juice is loose. Yep. And are we recording, by the
way? We are recording.
Okay. Good, good, yep. Good. Cool. And yeah, I guess we'll start. Welcome back, everyone, to our monthly Discord stage preview. We are your hosts, Tabris Inspector, and we actually have a cool guest with us today. His name is Juice, and he'll be diving into all the data he's collected about Stake Your Claim today. I said data weird, or data. I don't know.
Data?
I don't know. Which, they're both correct, I guess. Before I begin, I'd like to mention that we're actually going to try something new today. We want to try sending an exclusive gift of Regal Relics to players who've watched our Discord stage. We'll be doing this by sending a direct message in-game for a very short period of time.
Yep.
And we'll indicate when you guys should begin opening your game and claiming the gift, so stay tuned. I just realized. Start the event. Let everyone
officially
know.
Officially starting the event
we're
now.
Officially starting the event. my bad. So yeah, we'll make sure to tell you guys when to open up your game.
Yep.
And keep it open so you guys can claim that gift, because it will only be there for a short period,
yes,
of time.
Not quite yet, but we'll get there.
We'll get there. Now on to the usual. First, I'll introduce myself. Hi. I'm Tabris. I'm a community manager on Game of Thrones Conquest. I do many things, and at the moment, it's been writing blogs, talking with our ambassadors, and gosh, figuring out this Discord stage. And I'll pass it off to Spectre.
Yes, thank you. And yeah, thank you for joining our festivities as we celebrate this month the Highgarden Harvest Festival. You can call me Spectre, and I'm the social media manager for Game of Thrones Conquest. I'm also one of your main co-hosts for our Discord stages, but enough about me. You already know who I am. I was about to say what I am, but I am a ghost. I want you all to say hello to our special guest, Juice, who will introduce himself.
All right, hello. Yes, I am Juice, J-U-C-E. Don't need that I there. I'm product manager on Game of Thrones Conquest, and I'm part of the team that brought you Stake Your Claim.
Awesome.
Ooh, welcome, Juice. Hopefully we bring you back for many more years to come. So first we'll go over the schedule for the Highgarden Harvest Festival event preview. So first, yeah, we'll be going over that event. And then next we'll go into, the Festival Carus. How do I pronounce that? Gear set?
Festival Carouser.
Carouser gear set. Thank you. Next we'll go into our new heroes. Then we'll do a creature spotlight on the Mad Fool, which I'm very excited about. Mm-hmm. We got some really cool assets,
yes,
for that this month that you can see on the blog.
Yep.
Yeah. And then we'll jump into Stake Your Claim updates, and we'll be going into the stats of last Stake Your Claim, which is really cool. We've never been able to do that before. We'll talk a little bit about the House of the Dragon, and then we'll do a really small other studio updates, because Stake Your Claim takes up a lot of time. I'll pass it off to Spectre to jump into the Highgarden Harvest Festival.
Yes, so it is the month of November, and this month marks the celebration of the Highgarden Harvest Festival. Now, just for a bit of trivia, does anyone know in the chat which scene from the show inspired the inception of the holiday? Just to steer you in the right direction, you actually won't find Highgarden Harvest Festival spelled out directly in the show, but there was a character who briefly mentions it to another character about an event that is held every year in Highgarden. Does anyone know that scene? I can give further hints if...
Did someone say it?
Someone said it.
Ooh.
Someone said it.
Cool.
Yeah, so shout-outs to Ruby, who said the Margaery to Sansa conversation. Specifically, it was season 3, episode 4, when she encouraged her to go see Highgarden's Great Masquerade on the night of the Harvest Moon. So, yeah, I'm actually surprised you got that correct.
It even says in the thing, being like, wow, no one got that.
Yeah. Awesome job. Tabris, can you actually believe that, like, a small mention of the holiday got turned into like, a whole event for our game?
It's so cool. I wish, like, we had more, like, official events to celebrate Game of Thrones-wise officially. So it's cool that we were able to take this one little mention and bring it to something bigger yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. Now, speaking of festivals, actually two festival events are returning this month. We have Feast of Cakes and Pies starting on November 8th, and then Festival of the Maiden starting on November 24th. And yeah, you can check out the info on our blog to get a full event schedule.
Woo-hoo!
Now, moving on to the latest gear set, the Festival Krauser gear set. This month introduces a new utility set. And if you've forgotten your party attire, we got you covered. You always have to wear your finest wares when partying and drinking.
I want that crown.
You can begin earning materials for this gear set by participating in the Prepare the Banquet event tomorrow on November 2nd. And yeah, if utility is what you're looking for, this gear set has it all. Some of the key stats include training capacity, forging steel cost efficiency, healing cost efficiency, heal cost reduction, research speed, training speed, forging speed, and construction speed. So there you go.
I tried to like number that out all on my fingers, and then I lost.
There's
count
too many. There's too many stats. All right. Now, moving on to heroes. So yes, we are releasing new heroes bi-monthly. So it is that time again. And so the two new heroes that will be joining us on November 14th include Alaria Sand Paramore and Cyril Pharrell, First Sword of Braavos. Now, I won't go through each individual skill, but I'll just give you a brief overview of each hero. Alaria Sand, she takes on the role of the Hand on the Small Council, and she focuses primarily on cavalry combat. Now, whether she's advising from the council or leading your marches, cavalry attack and defense skills will be activated. So very flexible. You can have her both on the council and in marches. Now, move on to Cyril Pharrell, who is the mythic hero releasing this month. He occupies the Master of War seat on the Small Council, and his skills focus primarily on infantry combat. Now, just like Alaria, he can play an effective role either on the council or on the battlefields. It just depends on your specific strategy. Mm-hmm. When seated on the council, he'll activate infantry attack and defense skills. But you know, on the flip side, when he's leading marches, he'll double down on defense, and infantry defense and infantry health will be both activated.
Cool. So, thank you so much for that overview.
No problem. I know, I'm rushing through this information because I know we have some juicy stake your claim stuff. But we have a new segment. Creature spotlight for this month is the Mad Fool, who is the new enemy this month. The cunning Mad Fool will appear during the Gruesome Act event tomorrow, and he's looking to disrupt the festivities.
What a guy.
Yeah, and I'll allow Dan to share a really cool creature profile in the bulletin if she hasn't done so already. Oh, there you go. So check out that video. That's going to showcase his animations as well as some really, really awesome voice lines. And I think it really displays his personality. My favorite is when the knife falls on his back and he makes that sound. What are your general thoughts of the Mad Fool?
He's a lad.
He's a lad.
He would be great to party with. That's all.
Yeah. So I do have some insight. We actually spoke with the artist who came up with the concept art of the Mad Fool. So we got some behind the scenes insights on that. So the juggling knives weren't the only weapons considered. Early ideas included daggers, as well as a purple wedding inspired veil of poison or poison crystals. But everything fell into place when she realized juggling knives would make the perfect weapon. You know, they're a form of entertainment, they're dangerous, and they make for awesome pawn animations on the combat map.
Yeah, it would hard to kill someone. I mean, I guess you could throw poison at someone, but like I think daggers do a lot better.
No, I really think that that really fits his personality. Mm. Now, the biggest question she had, the biggest question she had was the materials for his look. Since the Mad Fool has so much personality, it actually instantly made her think of the character Kefka from Final Fantasy VI. I don't know if people are familiar with that character, but when she found out about Crazy Lace Agate, which is a type of gemstone, she knew that was going to be the perfect choice. It really captures the acid trip clownish aesthetic. That's what she said. I'm quoting her. But yeah, if you're wondering what the texture material for his clothes is, that's the gemstone.
I thought it looked like a gem, but I didn't like mention it. I was just kind of like, oh, I just thought it was like the aesthetic they tried to pull. But that's cool. What it's inspired by.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Spectre.
No problem.
For that in-depth analysis, especially about the Mad Fool. I love learning about this stuff. But yeah, let's actually dive right into Stake Your Claim. Woo! Yeah. So our first demerge went off really successfully, besides a couple of caveats, and we're super excited to dive deep into our results about the first Stake Your Claim. So yeah, we have an exciting opportunity to discuss this with our product manager, Juice. So you introduced yourself briefly earlier in our introductions, but can you dive deeper into who you are and what you've done to develop Stake Your Claim?
So again, I'm Juice. I'm one of the product managers on Game of Thrones Conquest. And, you know, product managers in general can do lots of things. You know, different orgs have different definitions of the role. But I largely help figure out areas of focus, you know, help prioritize development and do lots of analysis. And so kind of with Stake Your Claim, over the past months and years, we've been looking at the pulse of the game and thinking about kingdom lifecycle. And, of course, some of these kingdoms have had lots of merges, which can make an impact. Is that a surprise, right?
Wow.
and so we thought, what could we do about this? You know, what challenges are players facing? And we had a lot of discussions and brainstormings and looking at what other games do. And, you know, in this, like, the discussion of player agency came up. And we asked, hey, what if you went all the way and did some sort of KVK thing with new maps and let players choose where they want to go? So the team got together, fleshed out this concept, and Stake Your Claim was born. And then we figured out how to deliver it.
Thank you so much, Juice, for that wonderful introduction. I'm super excited to dive into these stats that you've actually pulled for us today. So, yeah, let's dive right into it. This Stake Your Claim demerge stats that we're showing was specifically for 805 and 828 into 1267, 1268, and 1269. So, yeah.
Sorry about that, guys. We're back.
Oh my God.
We lost internet briefly.
That's
there.
That's never happened before. I'm so upset. Oh, I'm so sorry, Juice. You come in and just loses the internet. Oh, gosh.
It's my fault.
All right. I'm sorry, friends. So where can anyone tell me where we ended audio? So I can start from there. No one's answering me.
It was like a minute before I ran in.
As soon as I posted the chart. All right. Thank you so much. That helps a ton. Okay. So the first chart. All right. So I'll ask this question again. So, overall, how did players' choices in 805 and 828 end up affecting the populations of Kingdoms 1267, 1268, and 1269? I will now be keeping a close eye on the internet to make sure we don't perish again.
All right, so first of all, it was great to see what players are going to do because, again, so much agency, like what's going to happen, right? So first of all, it was great to see a relatively even distribution of 805 and 828 on each of the new three kingdoms. And this was cool to see because that's why we did this. We wanted to mix up the competition here.
Right.
And so what's interesting is that 1267 was the smallest of the three new kingdoms and 1269 was the largest. However, 1267 had some of the more powerful agencies in some of the big battles. So it looks like some players were avoiding some of these intense battles, and that's some of the overall population choices that I think we're seeing.
Yeah, I wonder if like players jumping from like kingdom to kingdom were because of they were avoiding that kind of landscape. And while we talk about that, I'm going to actually have Dandan post two more images into the bulletin. Are we still? We're still live, right?
Yeah, we're still live.
Internet? Okay.
Just making sure. Thank you so much, Dandan. How are players jumping from kingdom to kingdom? Did anything stick out that was odd or interesting while looking at this data?
Yeah. So this data, this is the number of teleports to the first chart is a number of teleports to which map, and the bottom is kind of more detailed, the from to two. And so it's interesting, especially day-to-day, because on the first chart, on 928, laws move into 1267. Mm-hmm. And then more people move to 1269 by the end. And the more detailed chart on the bottom shows that people were going to 1269 from the original home maps and even from the other new maps. So kind of from across the board moving to 1269. And we even saw some allegiances moving from 1260 to 1269 in the last hour. Mm. You know, so it's a bit odd to see like that much kind of movement towards 1269 at the end. It is interesting, and I am curious, you know, what players were seeing, what they were thinking, how they're collaborating with their allegiance to make the choices that they did.
Right, because there's a lot of variety that could happen. Like, it could have been our announcements. It could have been this was planned from the start. And if it was, I would love to know. just for my sanity. There's so many possibilities on why something might have turned into something else. So let's actually jump into another really cool thing we've been able to pull out of this mountain of numbers, which I will never understand. That's why I'm a community manager. And the insane amount of SOP takeovers occurring over the course of the, I guess it was technically a 5-day event. Dan, if you could post those three graphs next into the bulletin channel, be highly appreciated. And then I can continue. I'm going through the stage chat. Bless. Thank you so much, Dan. First, let's jump into the first image, which is 1267 stats of like the SOP takeovers. And from the numbers, it looks to be the map with the least amount of SOP takeovers over the course of the first Stake Your Claim weekend. 1268 comes in second place with the most SOP turnovers. However, it looks like they had significantly less activity at SOPs 4 and above. And then 1269 comes in first with the majority of SOP turnover activity happening on this kingdom. It looks like we had an insane weekend. I'm surprised on how different these kingdoms have adjusted to these changes. So what do you think about when you look at this data, Juice? Yeah. Despite the activity happening on 1269, it had significantly less interactions at SOPs 4 and above compared to 1267, which has a much smaller population.
Yeah, it was pretty insane what was going on. So again, there's so many variables here. You have so much, you know, player agency. Again, I can see this over and over again. What could happen? Who knows what could happen?
Right.
So what comes to mind is just kind of just basic things like raw defense strength and what, you know, stops and titles are available. Mm-hmm. So like on more populated maps, there might be less opportunity for allegiance to grab one seed and defend another. And one allegiance might have more power and say, okay, let's just focus our power here and over here. But at some point it comes down to what certain allegiances care about, right? Mm-hmm. You know, what are they willing to fight for, throw troops at? And it shows me that, you know, there was a ton of activity on 1269, but perhaps the four stars were better defended relatively, whereas in 1267, it was more worth it to compete for the four stars over there. So that's where intention and action is. Again, this is a super high level thing to look at, but it's great. There's so many variables. It's kind of very organic, right. But it's exciting to see that, you know, every kingdom isn't the same. And so it's fun to see all that.
Yeah, it's amazing to see all that. I love it. And it really makes for, like, different kingdom cultures. Even if it's just these two kingdoms demerging, it can create three totally different, like, cultures in those kingdoms and, like, the way they interact with things. So thank you, Juice. That's all we have about the data. We are actually going to jump into some adjustments that you'll be seeing for the next Stake Your Claim. First, timing. Last Stake Your Claim happened for 4 days straight, with players fighting for their seats and being forced to defend for, I've heard, an obscene amount of time.
Very obscene.
70 plus hours. Juice, what are some of the changes players should expect for this next iteration of Stake Your Claims in regards to timing?
All right, so for the next Stake Your Claim, there's kind of two main things to look out for. One is, of course, the timing. And so this time around, Stake Your Claim will start on Friday and end on Monday morning. Mm-hmm. However, for the seat unlocks, on Friday, SOPs 1, 1.5, and 2, 2.5, so 1 to 2.5, mm-hmm. will unlock on Friday between 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time. Mm-hmm. And then on Saturday, the 3 and 3.5 stars will open up between 3 and 9 p.m. And then on Sunday, the 4, 4.5, and 5 star will open from 3 to 9 p.m. and then lock at 9 p.m. They'll all be locked at 9 p.m.
And then Monday, there's no SOP openings, because we just want to make sure on Monday that we're in when the actual demerge occurs.
Yeah.
So SOPs will be open for 3 days, and they will all close at 9 p.m. on their respective days. And then we also have a small PvP update that we want to try out.
Yeah, so we're going to try something and kind of makes it more of a, you know, a SOP-focused event. And so we're going to disable player-versus-player combat. Mm. So combat at the seats, but no Keep vs. Keep combat this time around.
All right. Awesome. Thank you so much. I know this is always subject to change, so if you guys have any feedback before and during the event, make sure to head on over to that Stake and Merch channel. As a reminder, I will be there after the stage to answer all questions. And now on to the thing you've been waiting for, which is, the pairings. Our next Stake Your Claim will be with Kingdoms 8/32 and 11/28, the weekend of November 11th. If 8/32 and 11/28 Stake Your Claim doesn't have any critical bugs, Kingdoms 8/29 and 8/34 shall be the next to experience Stake Your Claim, and we are currently aiming for a super early December Stake Your Claim. And if I'm not mistaken, after 8/32 and 11/28, 8/29 and 8/34 are one of our larger kingdoms, so it's something we have to be in here for. Again, if you have any questions or feedback about Stake Your Claim specifically, head on over to our Merge and Stake channel. It will get lost if you ask me in the stage channel. I'll be around after the stage finishes to answer any questions as needed. And since I know some players will want specifics, and we will also have that blog posted. And I think that's all the information I have for Stake Your Claim today. Before we go to the next portion of our stage, I'm going to do a pause so you make sure to listen, because this is about our gift. Yes, thank you. please log into game and prepare to receive some Rhaegal relics. You can only claim the gift for a very short amount of time, so we'll indicate when we've sent the message to be claimed. But please begin opening Game of Thrones Conquest. Well, next, let's jump right into our House of the Dragon overview. What did you all think about that first season?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I can start just. Again, overall impressions, we're not going to do any spoilers. I don't want to assume that everyone has finished watching the show yet, but, I mean, you definitely should, because I thought it was an awesome show. I did like the fact that it was a prequel, and it was, like, a fresh story for a lot of people, and, you know, it was time for them to get acquainted with new characters, new plot line, new tension between these two sides with Team Green and Team Black.
I love how you can't be specific.
I know. I guess the big question here for chat and for us, which side are you on? Are you on Team Green or Team Black?
I'm sorry, all the memes in the chat. Obviously Team Black, because who's ever heard of Team Green Princess Fiona? Never heard.
Yeah, definitely Team Black. Yeah.
That's it. What about you, Spectre? Are you going to be the odd one out?
No, I'm also Team Black. I think there's no love for Team Green.
Knowing what's coming in the lore, because, like, I've from the Maester's point of view, it's going to be quite interesting. And that's all I'm going to be able to say.
Well, I'll say a little bit without spoiling anything. So I have read most of Fire and Blood, and this season starts somewhere in the middle of that book.
Right.
And again, compared to The Song of Ice and Fire, that is super detailed, super, like, character point of view storytelling, super detailed, whereas Fire and Blood is, again, like you're saying, it's told from the perspective of a maester.
Right.
So it's like a history lesson.
Yeah.
So what's cool is that it's, like, high level, but then the show has so much creative freedom, so even if you read the book, you can still enjoy the show.
It's called something. It's called, it's like just history, like, being, like, changed in writing, but it actually occurred a totally different way. A bunch of games. I appreciate any game or series that is able to do this, because it's so interesting how you're like, how did this person, like, think about this event? And history, it is a lesson about, like, just history in general, and, like, it's basically written by the people who win.
Yeah.
I think, like, the only disappointing thing is we have to wait forever for the next season.
Don't say that. Don't say that. What are you talking about? I don't believe that. All right. Cool. We'll actually jump into the other studio updates. There's not too much since Stake Your Claim was the focus of what we've been doing here at the studio for a little bit. But, I'll call out some things that have been happening these last 2 weeks. Gear and trinket deconstruction is now live. We're really glad to get this highly requested feature out the door, and we're actually already collecting all your feedback on how to improve the usage of those scraps that are being collected. And Juice was so kind to tell me of some things, and they've been doing a couple of usability improvements that he was open to calling out. So, Juice, if you don't mind.
Yeah, just to call out one in particular. So the past week or so, 8/32 had a small usability improvement on their Valley panel. So You know, when you're on the rally panel, like, oh, what level thing am I hitting here? You got to tap the coordinates and go back to the map. But now, and this is now available to all players, this is all available globally, on the rally panel, on the rally list, you can now see the level of the creature, of the target on that panel. So it's a nice little usability improvement that we're glad to see out there. And, you know, we're definitely investigating things like that.
Cool. Awesome. Thank you so much, Juice. And I'll pass it off to Spectre to dive right into the thing that you all want that I'm reading.
Yes. Yeah, so this wraps up today's show. But, you know, before we get into that, I just wanted to thank you all for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed all the interesting stats that were presented by Juice, and also meeting Juice for the very first time. Mm-hmm. We definitely look forward to bringing on more guests onto our show. Now, before we go, as we mentioned before, we have a special gift for everyone who tuned into today's show. Please be sure to check your in-game Raven message to claim your bundle of 4,000 Regal relics. The relics will go away soon, so I recommend claiming them now. Now, as always, we'll go ahead and stay in chat for just a bit as we close everything out. And yeah, if you have any lingering questions, we'll be sure to answer them.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for jumping in. I'll post that Stake Your Claim blog so it will be available to your Allegiance members if they didn't come to this stage. And yeah, so the Raven's being sent out now. So I guess we can just stick on until that got sent. Oh, it looks like some of them are getting sent.